This is Focus West Michigan for Wednesday, November 5, 2025. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. Mason County-based West Shore Community College is expanding, transforming a shuttered Oceana County grocery store into a satellite location. But as WGVU's David Limbaugh tells us, it will be more than just an education hub.
So this project has been thought of by a college administration and board for the better part of probably 8 to 10 years, trying to figure out a way that we can better support not only the students in Oceana County, but also the community itself.
Vice President for Administrative Services for West Shore Community College, Mitchell Foster, says the school purchased the former IGA grocery store in downtown Hart in 2024. West Shore is headquartered in Scottville, just east of Ludington.
Old grocery stores are grocery stores in general are very just open, right? You can do whatever you want with them because they're just a big empty box. And so it really fit with the idea of being creative and flexible with space.
The building will not only host classes for the college, but will feature a food club for low-income residents, coffee house, a Michigan Works outpost, social service provider, the Mid-Michigan Community Action Agency, and public space available for rent.
It makes it more appealing for our community members to want to come in and be comfortable with coming in because they see all those services being offered as well.
West Shore opened its first satellite location in Manistee in 2021. The Hart location is expected to open in fall 2026. I'm David Limbaugh.
A West Michigan hospital is launching a canine security program. The dogs enhance security and provide a calming presence for patients and staff. WGVU's Dee Morrison reports.
Sits. Good boy.
Canine handler Austin Fine partners with Buzz, a Belgian Malinois German Shepherd mix, as a trained healthcare work dog team, one of three now at University of Michigan Health West.
I think the dogs have had a huge impact in this hospital already for only being here for less than 2 weeks. I'm excited to see where it goes from here.
The presence of the dogs calms staff and patients, much like a therapy dog. But these teams also enhance security, deterring disruptive behavior, and de-escalating dangerous situations.
The dogs, they can achieve something that no man can just by being there.
Director of Security Gary Gorski says workers in healthcare are 5 times more likely to experience workplace violence than in other fields.
We've seen that happen already, where a person was extremely disruptive and violent, and when a dog came in, the person decided to cooperate, comply with what was being asked, and left without incident.
The dogs are European bred, trained in Southwest Michigan, and are certified by the International Police Work Dog Association.
Blimey.
Visitors are encouraged to pet and play with the dogs. Just ask their handlers first. I'm Dee Morrison.
Many West Michigan school districts have more money to pay for improvements after voters approved bond issues in yesterday's election. But in Rockford, WGVU's Phil Dawson reports the bond proposal was rejected by a large margin.
Voting no on a school bond, that doesn't make you a bad parent.
Emily Rose Wayland helped lead opposition to the $230 million bond proposal for the Rockford schools. She says it's too expensive and the money would not support current teachers and classrooms.
People vote no for different reasons. Perhaps the proposal just doesn't feel like the right fit.
We tried to get the word out as much as possible about this vote.
Rockford School Superintendent Dr. Steve Matthews says the bond, which failed by roughly 20 percentage points, would not increase property taxes over the 2025 rate, and he says the money would improve security, replace old buses, and build a new Ram Center Fieldhouse.
We've been around the community and tried to share information in a variety of different ways.
A failed bond isn't a disaster. It's a chance to find the right balance for our community.
I'm Phil Dawson.
Cruise the Great Lakes has released its 2026 economic outlook for the region's cruise industry. As WGVU's David Limbaugh tells us, there's growth on the horizon.
According to Cruise the Great Lakes, the region's cruise marketing program, Great Lakes Cruising is expected to generate $300 million in economic impact in 2026. Officials said the number represents growth of 25% over 2025, and that growth is expected to continue. Great Lakes Cruises are projected to welcome over 23,000 individual passengers, which is a 5% increase from 2025. More than 800 port visits are also expected, a 15% increase from this year. 7 cruise lines are scheduled to operate 10 ships on the Great Lakes in 2026. 2 cruise lines made Muskegon port of call with a total of 15 stops in 2024. Tourism director of Cruise the Great Lakes, Sally David Berry, said, quote, "We forecast this upcoming season to be even stronger than 2025, both in terms of passenger numbers, destinations visited, and economic impact, which underscores the appeal of cruising in the Great Lakes, end quote. I'm David Limbaugh.
Organizers say they're putting on the largest drone show in West Michigan and the first in Grand Rapids, all to honor veterans and their service. WGVU's Dee Morrison reports.
The Celebration of Service fundraiser is a free community event in downtown Grand Rapids to honor the 250th anniversary of the United States, the U.S. Marine Corps, Army, and Navy.
Showing that our veterans in the communities all around West Michigan, particularly in Grand Rapids, are not alone.
U.S. Marine Corps veteran Jamal Stewart is the president of event organizer Creative Community Entertainment, a nonprofit supporting programs for Michigan veterans. The event features drone light shows over the Grand River both Friday and Saturday.
A celebration without the bangs and the noise and the flashes that helps PTSD impacted veterans that cannot handle that type of environment. But it also tells the stories, right? It gives visual recognition to the whole military service and the service members.
Veterans and their family members have free booth space to showcase their businesses, along with an arts and crafts fair, live entertainment, and local food trucks. Funds raised support the Creative Arts and Music Program for Veterans, the Marine Corps Ball, and a 2028 military jet team performance on the lakeshore. I'm Dee Morrison.
Coming up soon, another one of StoryCorps' One Small Step conversations, but first, news from around the state. Michigan bills to prevent fraud in fertility treatment received a hearing on Tuesday before a state House committee. Colin Jackson has more.
The package would make it a felony to lie about a sample donor's identity or educational and family medical background. Michigan Fertility Alliance founder Stephanie Jones opposes it. She says the bills are too strict.
These bills would criminalize good physicians for things far beyond their control, including any inaccurate or incomplete information provided by a donor.
But Republican Representative John Roth says prosecutors won't charge people making innocent mistakes.
They're going to go after the people that it's egregious, and it's obviously a very blatant activity.
This is the third time similar bills have come up in the Michigan legislature. I'm Colin Jackson in Lansing.
Detroit City Council President Mary Sheffield made history on Tuesday, becoming the first woman ever elected mayor in the Motor City. Sheffield won by a wide margin over her rival, the Reverend Solomon Kinlock Jr. Sheffield says she will shape her initial priorities as mayor by creating a transition team that reflects all of Detroit.
We are going to have people from various sectors of our city sitting on that transition with various committees, from gun violence to housing to infrastructure to transit. And that committee will drive what the first 100 days of my administration would look like.
Outgoing Detroit Mayor Mike Duggan, among others, endorsed Sheffield as the best candidate to continue luring jobs and business investment to the city, but she says more must be done to spread that wealth to the city's neighborhoods and combat Detroit's high poverty rate. Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support the show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. Today, in our One Small Step conversation, we bring together two strangers for a conversation about their lives, not politics. A generational divide separates Linda and Ash. What they discover is mutual respect. The two believe if everyone had more respect for one another, the world would be a better place.
Hi, my name is Linda. I'm 58 years old, and I'm from Grand Rapids.
Hi, my name is Ash. I am 21 years old. I am from Brighton, Michigan, outside of Ann Arbor. I was raised in a two-parent home, mom and a dad, and I have a younger brother. He's about 2 years younger than me. I was raised very religious. My family is Lutheran, so I grew up very invested in the church. I played in the church band. I was a Sunday school teacher. I was an usher at church. So it was a big part of my life. I grew up playing softball my whole life, very active. How about you? Where did you grow up? What did it look like?
I grew up in Westchester, Pennsylvania, which is a suburb of Philadelphia. Two-parent household. My mom was a school teacher. My sister and I were both adopted, and she stopped working, so she raised us. And I grew up Lutheran as well. For me, it was Sunday school, church choir, that type of thing. As I grew up and became a teenager, I stopped going to church. I moved to Michigan when I was 30.
Being so young, I feel like I'm just starting to kind of figure out different political values. I was raised in a very conservative family, but also as I've explored my own identity, it's been really interesting to kind of figure out my own values. So I would say I'm generally pretty moderate about most things. I definitely lean more typically left on environmental topics, topics relating to LGBTQ rights, kind of just like the general structure of our society. But I also am very open-minded and, like I said, still trying to figure that out.
For being so young, you're getting it figured out. That's really cool. It's taken me a lifetime of, I've always voted from the time my first election after turning 18. I've always voted because I think that's something, as being a citizen of this country, it's a responsibility we all have to participate in this system. I've grown definitely more conservative over my lifetime, but I would say I'm more fiscally conservative. I'm definitely a moderate who leans left, but I lean left because of the social issues. I feel like we need to be responsible with our money, but I feel like those who can pay more should pay more. I feel like those who need the most help in our society, there should be help for them. I feel like everybody has rights and there is no one that is better than or is more deserving than anyone else. So I'm definitely left-leaning in that way on the social issues and the environment. What are we going to do? I have 3 grandkids that I worry about the environment. What's going to happen when they're my age if we don't do something?
One of my core values, we all have common humanity. We're all humans. And having one belief system doesn't make you better than another.
I agree.
I think there are also a lot of variations within one group of belief systems too.
I agree 100%. What is your first memory of politics?
My grandma's very invested in seeking out news sources that are very aligned with her beliefs. I remember going to my grandma's house every weekend and she would have on like Newsmax or Fox News, and she would talk at the TV. She would yell at the TV, like agreeing with the news that she was watching. And she would just gets very worked up about it. Anything politics related. So those are some of my first memories of that.
My very first memory was standing in line on a very cold evening as a child waiting for my parents to vote. My mom would not let me in the voting booth with the curtain. And like my parents would not discuss politics with me. They would not tell me who they voted for or why. And as an adult, looking back at that, I thought, what a teaching opportunity that would have been for you to, you know, start a discussion with your child. That's my earliest memory. So when I was raising my son, I just tried to have an open dialogue. You know, you can choose your own personal beliefs. This is what I believe and why. But I think it needs to be discussed and talked about. It's not a secret, or it shouldn't be.
And I think starting that discussion at a young age and kind of just sparking that curiosity can definitely be really helpful for younger people. And as they grow up, they can kind of build on their values that they want to use to guide their political decisions.
You seem involved and hopeful. Can you tell me about someone who has been the kindest to you in your life?
The RA that I had my freshman year being at college, we ended up growing super close, becoming really good friends. We actually ended up dating. I just remember, like, when I first moved into my dorm, I had never felt so welcomed in my life. They were knocking on my door. Hey, I'm going to Zumba. You want to come to Zumba? And I've never known someone to be so welcoming and outgoing and inviting. And that was something so new to me and definitely made me feel a part of something right off the bat moving to college. And that was really big.
That is big. That's huge.
Can you tell me about someone who has been the kindest to you in your life?
There have been people in my past. When I was in my mid-20s starting a new job, there was a lady who just kind of took me under her wing and was very kind to me, and she would answer any question I had. I could feel that she truly cared about me. And That same period in my life, there was an older gentleman at the same job. And throughout the years, I've wished that I had recognized their kindness more. But currently, my best friend is the kindest girl you'll ever, ever meet. And she's there for me for anything.
And how long have you known your best friend for?
14 years. We started out as work pals, and she's retired now. Lucky girl. But she's always just a call or drive away. Are you still friends with your RA?
Yeah, we're still friends. They actually moved to New Hampshire, but I'm flying out to see them.
Nice. Enjoy. Have you been to New Hampshire?
I actually went this summer to look at grad schools there, but I was there for a day and a half, so.
I've not been any further than Massachusetts. Boston is the furthest north on the East Coast that I've been, so enjoy. How would you like to be remembered?
Kind of like you were saying about the one coworker that you had, I just hope for people to look back on their experiences with me and be able to say the same thing where I was like, she was really like nice or welcoming. I hope I'm remembered as someone who radiates compassion. I really do try to be a caring presence in everyone's life. How would you like to be remembered?
I want to be remembered as a kind person. And I feel like I am. I just think it's so important. If I'm in the store and someone's shirt catches my eye, I tell them that shirt looks great, or I love your hairstyle, those earrings are great. Because I think everybody needs that little bit of positivity in their day.
That's one thing that I almost have to like remind myself to do, because I get like tunnel vision and I get stuck in like my own little bubble. But I've been trying to remind myself.
Your generation gives me hope for the future. I think younger generations need to care and hopefully get involved. Your generation gives me hope for our future. I see more involvement and less pessimism in a lot of people your age, certainly in you. You do, you radiate hope and kindness.
I think seeing really passionate people in healthcare and like the level of care that they provide for others gives me a lot of hope for the future. Because I think like that is something that our society really struggles with, is general health and well-being. And so I think the better care that we can provide in healthcare, the better our society is as a whole. So that definitely gives me a lot of hope.
What is something that you'll take with you from this experience?
It was just so cool. There were still so many common grounds that we were able to find. A lot of like similar values, and that was really nice. And I think I'll definitely carry that with me for sure. That general principle of respect, like I just really liked how we kind of kept coming back to that. Just having respect for everyone.
I just did not expect you to be a 21-year-old girl. So that surprised me, but it was a great surprise. We're coming at life from such a different place, but we do share a lot of values, and we did find similarities in a lot of what we discussed today. I'm just so grateful to have been given the opportunity to have this conversation with you, and I'll definitely take this good, happy feeling away from this.
Yes, me too. I feel the same way.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Wednesday, November 5, 2025. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan tomorrow. Thanks for listening.